Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello.
We're back.
I'm Cass.
I'm Emma.
And this is Honey Do Me Podcast.
Yes, it sure is. Week 2 of our favorite things.
Yeah. And week 52 of the year.
Of the year.
If you're listening to this on release date.
Thank you. Also, I did not know how many weeks were in the year.
Are there 52? You could tell me right now there were different. It was a different number and I'd.
It's either 51 or 52. Okay. And I trust
you. I think it's 52. It came from somewhere, a deep knowing inside of me, so. Anyways,
yes.
Hello. Welcome back to our favorite things that we've learned this year. Mm-hmm. It's my turn, bitches.
Fuck yeah, it is.
So
then play Britney Spears.
Yeah.
It's Britney, bitch. It's Cass, bitch. I think we could just do it a cappella, actually.
You're absolutely scrap correct. The tips. That's not what you're here for, and I know it. I know you're here because we've teased you with our singing voices this entire time,
these past two years. It's literally just been you.
You sang, literally, play back the tapes.
When?
This, just the part one of this episode.
No, we didn't use that intro, bitch.
Ah, fuck. Fuck.
So I have no idea what you're talking about.
It does,
and
you know it. Anything I do, we do.
We do.
It's us.
Okay.
Hi,
it's Cass's turn.
Yeah. Thank you for coming to my
TED Talk. Are you already done?
I'm done. It's been so nice
thanking
hanging
everyone
out with you.
Exiting stage left at the moment?
No, I'm going to hand out my favorite things, just like Oprah.
Okay, you know what we should get next time? Mics. That attached Britney mic.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be so much more fun to record on?
You want to perform as well. I can tell.
I am a performer at heart. What do I mean, I was in Sleeping Beauty. I was in a rendition.
What were you?
I was
Who
ensemble.
Were you? Sorry.
I was a lady in waiting.
Oh.
I was on stage twice.
Lady in waiting sounds like waiting to be
fucked.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what it was.
Oh. What is it? Like a lady
we
waiting
were supposed
to take
wait
care of you?
On like the princess.
The princess.
The princess of Genovia. Of Genovia. No. Anyway. Yes, I'm a performer, and yes, we need Britney mics. Let's get back to you.
Okay. The first thing I'm handing out, look under your seat, there's a blowjob.
Fantastic.
Okay, so the first impactful life lesson tip that I want to talk about today was from Luna's episode. Luna Matata's, if you know her, you love her.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. This year, she came on to talk about blowjobs, and when I say she changed my life,
and
that
Jurgens.
Sounds a little silly, yeah, and my husband, it really did change the game. So here's a clip of that.
So the shaft is so interesting because remember, it's going to be visible at different stages of erection. Mm-hmm. And so different stages of erection can tolerate different sensations. So you might really want to stroke or put your whole mouth over a semi-erect or a softer penis and get that kind of like gobbling up of that area. And once it gets bigger, you know, maybe that's uncomfortable for a longer period of time. So when you've got the shaft, you can still perform oral on the shaft that isn't about swallowing it. So I teach a technique where it's sort of licking up one side and then licking down the other side, licking up that side, going down. So you're actually wetting the penis, which is great. You're adding saliva. The expectation to have saliva for the entire experience of a BJ is also challenging. So either stay hydrated or use a lube that you're comfortable with in your mouth.
So,
wowee.
Maybe everyone else knew this.
Ringing in the new
maybe.
Year.
I did not know. I really only thought about blowjobs in the classic whole shaft in the mouth, up and down type of scenario.
Get your grandmothers out of here if you're listening.
Don't let them look under their chairs.
Full shaft in the mouth.
But like that's the only way I've ever really seen a blowjob. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
To be fair, I haven't seen that many blowjobs.
I was gonna ask.
The penises in the porn I watch are few and far between.
Yeah.
That's a lie. They're not there at all.
I lied. They're not there.
I don't watch porn with penises in it.
There's a lot of titties, though.
Because usually there's a man attached to it.
Yeah. And then I watch that porn.
That's why I don't watch it. Anyways.
In the blowjobs that you've imagined in your head, it's always been dick down the gullet.
Dick down the gullet.
Yeah.
And as someone with a classically small mouth...
Yeah.
Dentist confirmed by multiple dentists. Right. They have to give me the special child opener for my mouth because the adult one's too big for me. Mm-hmm. So it's the exit. And you put it in the back of the jaw. It fucking hurts. Anyways, honestly, giving a blowjob felt like going to the dentist because it hurt and my jaw was sore and I could not keep it up. And honestly, if I'm trying to give you pleasure, but I am not having a good time, I am going to ruin it for you too because it is not fair for you to have a better time than me.
Yeah.
Your wife.
I'm your wife. Yeah, absolutely.
So as the love of his life, I felt like I was doing
you have to speak
him
up, honestly
an honor by not giving him a blowjob because that would put me
because that would mean I'm not having fun.
Exactly.
And you don't want me to not have fun.
No, not in this
why
house.
Would you if you said how was that and I said sucking your dicks was sucked. The worst thing ever. That wouldn't feel good.
No,
you have to be you know, serve the both of you by serving yourself.
Be considerate.
Yeah, piece absolutely
of
piece of shit.
Anyways, I could not really give blowjobs because it hurt me. Hurt my neck, hurt my jaw more than anything else. And it was just like really, really unenjoyable. But once Luna taught me that I could take it out of my mouth and do things like to the side of the shaft, I am not about to demonstrate that. And I was starting to go towards that. Don't go to
use
YouTube.
Use your microphone.
I didn't realize. And now my jaw, she's rested.
She's rested.
She's happy refreshed. To be there. I don't know how else to say it. Like, it truly changed it for me. And now I genuinely enjoy giving blowjobs. Not to anyone. It's just a few specific
people. This isn't a free service. Just a few. One hand I could name people on. Yeah.
It's definitely, like, one hand, though.
Yeah.
Full
hand. Full grip.
It's the full one. I really had no idea. I don't know. It just shifted my perspective on what a sex act can be and how if it's not working for you, change it. Figure something else out because there is another way to do it. And obviously, you know, if before Luna's episode, if you were to ask me, like, you should change this up, I would have been like, how?
Yeah.
But that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If there's a specific sex act that you're like, this doesn't work for me, let us know.
Yeah.
We'll find somebody and we'll ask the hard-hitting questions.
There's so
like,
many ways.
Can I take it out of my mouth and lick it from the side?
Lick it from the side. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't know if I have as small of a mouth as you do, but I fatigue fast.
Yeah.
With almost anything. Running, reading, blowjobs.
The stamina.
The stamina
is
not there for this Norman
that's
girl.
Okay.
And that's just the truth of it all. So I think also in that episode, they talk a lot about, like, using your hands as well.
Yes.
And that changed my life. I was like,
use what God gave you.
Use, you know, these little things right here, these little shrimp claws. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that was cheating, which I feel like we don't think about making shortcuts in sex acts because it feels like cheating.
Right.
Like, I'm doing the workaround to not have to do all the work.
Exactly.
But that's just adding to pleasure. If you're having more fun, they're going to have more fun.
Yes.
And I've only gotten rave reviews from using my hands in a blowjob. So, like, you never know.
Exactly. It's like the grapefruit, you know? We've all seen the grapefruit blowjob episode. You know what I mean? It's not
a bad idea.
I mean, I feel like a grapefruit would sting. But maybe that's only if there's open wounds.
I forgot about that.
Uh-huh.
Where was that circulating? Like, everywhere?
My mind? I don't know.
You showed it to me.
I showed it to my husband as well, and I was shocked because I did not discover it.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
So if you haven't seen it, look up grapefruit blowjob.
Grapefruit.
Say that 10 times fast.
Grapefruit blowjob.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's all about making things work for you.
Yes, for you.
And so many of our guests have brought that up with different – we've done – more relationship stuff this year. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about sex stuff, specific sex acts, these experts have given us so many variations of one thing that I never thought possible, but so many ways to enjoy it. No matter what your like body anatomy looks like, there's a way for you to enjoy stuff.
The goal is not to do it right.
Right.
The goal is to do it in a way that feels good. Yeah. And that's going to look different for everyone. We all have different bodies. We all have different abilities. We all have different stamina.
Yeah, we do. It's a huge part in all of this.
And it's change it to make it fucking work for you. But I feel like we're also attached to like giving the best performance.
Yeah. It's like who's fucking I mean, if you have people watching, fantastic.
Great.
But if you have people watching, I'm going to say you run in a crowd that's a little bit more open-minded and therefore probably doesn't give a fuck if you're taking a route that feels better for you that's not like standard.
Exactly.
You know, like licking the side of a dick or using your hands.
And if you're having a good time, it's going to look better too.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that from
Azaria from our first blowjob episode.
Yes, having fun while you're giving blowjobs. Mm-hmm. It's like we were both like, pardon moi?
Huh?
Like, no.
I will say, I posted, this was probably a year and a half ago, I posted a TikTok about that episode, and I said, like, blowjobs can be fun. It got the worst fucking response. All of these girls were like, they got to her.
They got to her.
And they were like, are you okay? Blink twice.
Oh, my God,
and then
right.
One guy was like, I would never want a blowjob from you. And it's like,
first of all, yes, you would.
First of all, yes. Second of all, ew.
I don't, give
I don't
you a
want to give you one.
My fingers are full. Yeah. I have everyone for each one.
Each one's accounted for.
Yeah, you can't even come over here if you wanted to. So.
My mouth's not even big enough if you wanted it to be.
Yeah. That's a great one, though.
Yeah.
That's a good one to enter the year with.
Absolutely. So give more blowjobs, have more fun.
Yeah.
You do you.
Amen.
Yeah. Moving into my second favorite thing. Okay. So this is from our episode on sex and mental health with Nicoletta. Such a good episode. So important. This clip is coming right after I asked, or one of us asked, I can't even tell our voices apart all the time.
I know, me either. Sometimes I really can't.
But do you need to love yourself before you can love someone else? Do you need to be healed before getting in a relationship, being sexual, romantic, whatever? Those were the kind of questions we were asking. And here's what Nicoletta had to say.
Yes, it's important to like do work on yourself and continue to like practice self-love and like fostering inner child and, you know, love and self-parenting and all. Oh, I was gonna say all that bullshit. All that therapy bullshit. Like, yeah, it's important to work on that. And to me, like self-love and worthiness is not a destination. It's a process. It's a muscle. It's something that you work at consistently, probably forever. And so like, if we're waiting until we love ourselves, then you're going to be fucking waiting forever and never going to be with anybody else.
And never fucking.
Yeah.
So like, yes, there's a level to which you need to practice feeling worthy of receiving, but there's also a lot of healing that can come from like relationship. Like we are social creatures and we heal in relationships. So I'm not saying you should like depend on someone for all of your, you know, self-worth. But how could you not depend on it a little bit? Like we're right. social creatures exactly. and we look to that feedback. So there is a lot of healing that can happen from having, you know, positive relational experiences with someone that helps you feel and practice receiving.
I loved that because it's you don't need to be healed to be worthy of pleasure. And I feel like I have spent so much of my life saying, and this was similar to kind of what you were saying about being single. I've spent so much of my life saying, once this, then I can do that. Once I do this, then I can do that. And it's like, even in my current relationship, when I was getting into it, I was like, it's too soon. Like, I'm not fully healed. I'm not ready to do this. Like, whatever. I haven't worked through every itty-bitty piece of trauma I have, so I can't fully give myself to this. I can't be in relationship with this person. But it's like, I still deserved love. And it's a fucking process. I don't know. It really pissed me off. But I've held myself to that standard. And I've also, I will admit, been judgmental of other people for that and said, like, well, maybe you shouldn't be doing that because, like, you're... never said it to their faces, but you know what I mean?
Behind their back has got a lot of chatter.
Behind their backs.
Yep.
And that's a shitty thing, and I'm sorry that I did that.
I'm sorry to all of you who didn't know.
Who didn't know.
I did. Mad shit. No, I had the exact same belief when we were doing that interview and in my single phase that there's so much pressure and there's so many quote unquote resources on social media that tell you and show you how to work through all your shit. Because like you can be the perfect person if you start doing X, Y, Z, and then you would be great in perfect spot to be in a relationship when you're ready. I don't want to feel that pressure because I'm single, because I know I have trauma, whatever, that I have to work through all that shit to be loved. Mm-mm. That's not the messaging I want to tell myself, because then I will be on a never-ending chase because I'll find something new.
Yeah.
That like, oh, okay, I still can't be in a relationship yet because I haven't worked through this attachment style effect yet or whatever, thing, a characteristic. And it's like, it's never going to end. And I felt that so hard as well. Like, especially like entering TikTok, there was, that's a whole other phase of like this like phony self-help that's
out
there.
It's like the medicalization of every itty piece of just being a human being.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's well, you have this diagnosis because you exhibited this behavior that literally every other human exhibits as well.
Right. You are always worthy of being loved because you exist, as long as you're not the worst person to ever walk the face of the earth.
Exactly.
And that is it.
You know who you are.
You absolutely know who you are. I have a list right here. It's off camera. You can't see it. You can't, but I have a whole list of it, and you know who you are. But that was such an important messaging to hear. Because I, like, yeah, the answer is no. But you want someone to tell you that.
Yeah. You need
someone. I don't need you to, like, I don't need you to tell me that. I need someone else to tell me that.
I need a fucking professional to tell me no. I don't know. That was just, it's a frustrating thing to still grapple with, because it's not like she said that and now it's like, I deserve all the pleasure. It's like, okay, I have to unlearn that while people are still telling me you should really be healing yourself.
Right.
Well, I mean, you should really get fucked.
You should really go get fucked. But that happens even still in relationships, too. I feel like things will come up and you'll feel like, God damn it, I haven't worked through this thing yet. And then you're like, I don't know if I'm worthy in this relationship right now because I'm kind of like acting out on this trauma, acting out on this like suppressed behavior. And then that affects your self-worth even in your relationship, I feel like.
Yeah, that makes me think about like, what does it mean to be a good partner? Because can't always be a good partner. I'm not always a good partner.
Right.
Like, but that doesn't mean my husband's walking out the door. There are just times when neither of us are, you know what I mean?
Our best.
We can't always be good partners. And so sometimes I'm going to have trauma that I take out on you, or like it's going to hurt our relationship. But that's just because I'm human.
Right.
Not because I didn't do enough work before I found you.
Right. And I feel like it also hits your, not to out you, but I think it's very clear in our past, you have like a perfectionism thing as well. And that bleeds into your work ethic a lot. But if for someone who feels that way in your relationship too, it's like, that is exhausting.
It is
to feel like across all platforms of your life, you have to be perfect in order to feel loved and worthy.
Exactly.
Like you need the messaging to be told that no, you do not.
Absolutely. Over and over and over again. It also made me think about, times when sex hasn't been great, like something didn't feel good, I couldn't get in the mood, whatever. And I assumed it was some like deep down trauma or something I hadn't dealt with, like I was holding something in my womb and like, you know, the body keeps score and all that stuff. And like, yes, yes, your body is impacted by trauma. And what if I just didn't like the way that they touched me? What if I just wasn't in the mood? What if I, that's a turnoff for me?
Right.
What if it just wasn't good sex?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why am I not leaving room for that? And instead I'm like, I'll take this on. I'm this little trauma boat.
Put it in my backpack. The river.
Yeah.
Add it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think both you and I get caught up in thinking something has to be bigger and deeper than it is. I went to go see JVN stand up. Their whole theme was duality. Things are this and they're this. Also this. So that's how I feel about this conversation too. It's like, yes, you could be dealing with some trauma. And also, it could be true that you're just not in the mood.
Exactly. Like, we are deep, you know, really deep emotional creatures. And it doesn't feel good for my clit to be touched in that way.
In that way. My nipple is now raw. Please remove your fingers.
Exactly. Like,
thank
and
you.
Who's to say which one it is? But I feel like we tend to take on the deep work. Yeah. I don't know why, because we like to punish ourselves. We like to assume it's us.
Masochists,
it's
I guess.
It's easier to be like, there is something deeply wrong with me than say, can you touch me this way?
Yeah.
Instead. Mm-hmm. And that is so fucked.
That's hard. Mm-hmm. That even in and of itself is still hard for me to say, being like, this is going great, but please switch up what's happening. Mm-hmm. I still can't. I know this has nothing to do with our original point, but
yeah,
I'm still there.
I still don't say it all the time.
No.
And that, like, literally the other night, my partner was going down on me and I, like, wanted him to change something. And I, like, said it, but he didn't hear me the first time. And then he was like, what? And I was like, nothing. I literally said nothing because I was, like, embarrassed, but, like, it's so weird. I don't understand it. And so, yeah, I still have a lot of trouble asking for what I want.
Yeah. Especially when it's correcting what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
It's like I should be grateful for what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Which isn't an orgasm. It usually is. It usually, I will say, I have really great sex for the most part.
That's so funny, though. Yeah, I don't know where that comes from, but I totally resonate with that as well.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So fuck it. Be toxic. Don't heal yourself and have great sex. That's your goddamn business.
Wow, this is coming off the end of my last tip, which was recognize your toxicity and admit when you're wrong. But you're right. Yes, and.
Yeah.
We can continue in our ways.
We're not perfect. We can be wicked little witches and... That's my
little witch.
Fucking business.
I'm an alphaba.
I'm into it. Sorry. Catch me on Yule, bitches.
Catch me.
Fuck right off. Anyways.
Ouch.
Okay. Moving into my third favorite thing. These are obviously not in order. And obviously, everything we did this year was my favorite thing.
Right.
Except for the things that happened to me emotionally.
Except for things in my
personal life.
My
personal journey. Not so much my favorite thing.
Right.
Universe.
Yeah. Could agree. Yeah.
Relating to my last one was our episode with Kate Moyle on bad sex.
Mm.
What if the sex is bad?
Great.
So here is that tip.
Sex is an area of our lives that we are expected to be an expert and expect our partners to be an expert without good education, trial and error, the ability to ask questions. And it makes no sense that every other area of our lives we learn, we put an effort into, we try, we get it wrong, we get it right, we talk about it, we ask questions. It just makes no sense that sex is not treated the same way. And very much in my world as a sexologist and a psychosexual therapist, we think about sex as a skill, but the skill is not a formula that you follow and then you apply to every situation. It is something that's flexible and fluid and that you can use in all those different ways.
That sentence is going to sound so funny. I am deeply insecure. Period. But
that's the end of that one sentence.
I am deeply insecure about my lack of experience around sex. That is something that has been so hard for me. It has been really hard for me in the context of this podcast as well, because it's like we talk about sex all the time and I feel like I have such a small reference for it. And that's just something that's made me feel really bad about myself. I've had sex with two people and there was a really big gap in between those. And yeah, it just makes me feel like there's no way that I could be good at sex because I assume that being good at sex comes from experience, because that's what we say about everything. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you get good at something by doing it.
Right.
It's like, but I didn't.
To be fair, you missed out on bad first times with a bunch of strangers.
That's true. But, and I mean, I have sex with I've had a lot of sex with the person I'm with.
Just once.
Just one time.
After you got married.
Obviously.
Your marriage night.
The night of. Never again. I'm ready to bear child.
Yeah. I mean, that's also what we preach here.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't gotten that messaging, we've deeply failed.
I've failed personally. Please continue.
It's blowjobs, rear end, or not at all.
Or no. fucking men.
So we'll see you next year.
So we'll see you next year. That's my resolution.
Yeah, so it just made me feel really shitty about myself for a long time. But I really loved hearing what Kate had to say, because like you can learn about those things. And none of us are born being good at sex. And you're right. Like, a lot of the sex that I missed out on would not have been good.
No.
It's not like I'm missing out on these, like, ethereal orgasms. Yeah.
Ethereal.
I was looking for a different word, and that's what like came.
I
like it.
I want to have ethereal orgasms.
Me fucking too. They sound sparkly.
Real fucking sparkly.
Like green and gauzy and mossy.
If that's sparkly to you, then fuck yeah.
And sparkly.
Oh, mossy and sparkly. Together. Got it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Ethereal. Hi. I get it. That's your ethereal.
Anyways, the other reason this episode was really important to me is because when my husband and I first started dating, the sex was really bad. And that was also really hard because in my head I was like, this should just work.
Right.
It should
with just, the right person.
Yeah, with if they're right, then you'll just connect and everything will feel great. But it's like I knew I loved him pretty quickly and the sex just like was not working. And I realized after listening to this episode back again with Kate was we had these formulas that we were applying to this scenario, but they were shit formulas. My formula was from my one sexual relationship before, and it was very much like, first you make out, then you dry hump, then you finger, then there's hand stuff on a penis, stuff. And then sex
on a penis.
And because I actually... my husband is the first person to have ever gone down on me because that was just something that like I was really uncomfortable with until we honestly really started getting into it on the podcast. But so that was like my formula. And I was like, okay, so that's what we'll do. That's not what we did, because his formula was I've only had one night stands and hookups. And they fucked.
Yeah.
And you know, you're not fingering for a couple of months before.
Finger me for a couple of months and tell me I'm pretty.
And then we'll see how it goes, baby.
Finger me for a couple of months.
So, like, we were trying to apply those formulas to each other.
I fucking wish.
And neither of us were saying anything. And it just, oh my God. Like, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, but the first time that we had sex... Oh, no, I had. I had these, like, flannel sheets, and he kept slipping.
Yes, you did. Uh-huh.
So it was just, like, awkward and horrible, and neither of us knew what to say or what to do. And I was confused because I'm like, why are... Like, I wanted to have sex, but I was like, this is weird. You haven't fingered me for 6 months first, and we haven't dry humped at all. I don't know what to do. I'm up in arms over here.
Missing out on two of my first steps.
And I would...
We even dry humped, period.
I was truly so confused.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, like, yeah, there's a lot of different ways to go about having sex.
Jesus Christ. That's so funny.
But yeah, neither of us told each other anything. And then, so another thing that Kate said in that episode that was really helpful was you get stuck in a pattern until you meet someone that you change it with and say, and this is in her beautiful British accent, shall we do this differently?
Oh,
and it was like, that's definitely what my husband and I have done. It's like, we talked to each other. We figured eventually.
We fingered each other.
Honestly, it took me a really long time to even talk about. And I still have trouble saying that, like, dry humping feels good.
I love getting fingered. Like,
yeah.
We should ask for that more.
I know. We should ask for
individually, not together.
Sit both of them down at a table.
You too. Tighten up.
Come here.
Come here and sit down.
Tighten up and get out your fingies.
I'm going to sit.
And you're going to insert.
Keep your pants on. I'm going to rub up against it.
Get hard. Mama's coming. And I need something to come on.
I need a scratching post.
I need a side of a couch.
I've used it before. When I was a kid. Like, who hasn't, right? Oh my God. Fucking killed me. Jesus Christ. That's... embarrassing to think about. But I've been there.
But when things feel good, they feel good.
I was figuring out my body.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Masturbation is so shamed. I had to use something that wouldn't talk.
This couch is really hard.
Fuck. You do not use this couch in our office.
No. I have it jeans on when I'm here usually. I'm about to do denim. That through denim.
Think of the burns.
Sadist.
Oh my god. I'm dead. Why were we talking about this?
Because just asking for what I want is still hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, we figured out a formula that works for us and we mix it up and we try different things and I'm still learning how to ask for the things that I want, even married with a person that loves me.
Yeah.
To the goddamn moon.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still fucking hard, so.
Couldn't have said a bit of myself. Abso-fucking-lutely. There was even a point in the Shani Silver episode about being single. I believe you asked somewhat the same question where it was talking about your sex life with friends. I can't remember exactly, but it was like your sex life and your sex experience, yours and yours alone. Mm-hmm. And you can feel valid in it without needing anyone else's mm-hmm. validation. And yeah, I also haven't had a ton of sex. I've had more partners than you.
I've had more than you, fucking virgin.
Lame-ass virgin. I've had way more fucking sex than you.
Square.
Idiot.
Loser.
Go rub up against a couch. Anyway, but I haven't had a lot of sex with other people. I've had a lot of sex with my boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a different way, I also felt like I hadn't gotten the experience to have the right to talk about sex mm-hmm. because I haven't had successful sex with a lot of people.
Right.
So it's hard. It's a weird feeling to be like, I don't really know. Exactly what everyone else is talking about.
Exactly.
I'm just kind of here.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, that's why we fucking started this podcast.
Yeah.
Is because we both knew where we were coming from. And even though...
And coming on.
Coming on. Hear that?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. We just... Questions come from a very different place when you don't have mm-hmm. a lot of experience.
Yeah,
and
exactly
that has clearly resonated with a lot of you.
Mm-hmm. And when those formulas just don't work anymore. I also mm-hmm. had a formula in the 3-year relationship I was in before, and it was, God bless him, it was just bad sex.
Mm-hmm.
We ended having terrible sex
mm-hmm.
because we had a formula and we had no confidence, no knowledge, no support. I mean, like, something like this podcast,
yeah.
To understand that we could try different formulas 3 years mm-hmm. in. We could try them 15 years in. You know, mm-hmm. you can always switch things up, but no one brought up, like, shall we try this a different way?
Yeah.
It was, going back to your last point, it was like, there's something deep and trauma that I need mm-hmm. to add to my backpack, which is why our sex is terrible.
Exactly.
Turns out we just needed to break up. That helped also.
Yes.
But we just were stuck. We're stuck in this... limbo zone,
mm-hmm.
not knowing what the fuck to do. I just need a British woman to snap you out.
Yeah, you do.
God fuck. Damn it. Fuck. Those are some good points that you've learned over your year.
Thank you.
I was going to say years.
Years.
You're so old.
I know. I know.
I know. My wise, too. And gray.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I'm the gray one.
But you're blonde, so you can't tell.
You're not blonde.
Dirty blonde.
I have the same color hair as you.
You do not.
It's
my
damn
hair is so
similar.
Much darker than
That's
yours.
Absolutely.
You'll always be a blonde to me. I'm
not
sorry.
Not fucking true.
I'm sorry. I met you as a blonde.
Yeah. So forever in your hearts. Mm-hmm. But I am graying so much. Also, my hair is thinning. I don't know if that's a that's a getting older thing.
Could be a stress thing.
Severe stress. Or a hard water thing.
Hmm.
I could have hard water.
I can send you a link to the water the shower head that I use. It's great.
That would be awesome.
Like,
because
$20
on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yep. It's bananas. So also that I've also learned that I'm thinning this year.
Rosemary is also really helpful. Mm. I know people on TikTok talk about it, and they talk about a lot of shit, but it has, my hair has gotten so much fuller.
Really?
I use a rosemary, like, oil, okay. Not just straight up rosemary oil. Use fucking carrier oil, people.
Carrier oil?
So it's like you wouldn't use an essential oil directly on
your
skin.
Uh-huh.
Far too intense.
Far too intense.
But just some random rosemary hair growth oil, and then... Okay. It's helped a lot. I put that on before I get in the shower, like a couple hours before.
Right. I've seen people boil rosemary as well.
I did that as well. I am hard. It's difficult for me to use things consistently.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyways.
I digress.
Ha, what's funny, we started part one of this talking about how to remove hair, and now we're ending part two with how to grow it.
With how to grow it. Full circle.
Full
we do.
Circle.
This, it's like it's our job. Gonna say,
I'm gonna say, what do you think the longest pubes in the world are lengthwise?
Well, we were talking about world records, let's just see.
Yeah, okay,
longest pubes in the world.
Longest, don't show me if you see them.
Oh, if I have to see them, you have to see them. The longest pubic hair in history was 28 inches, so 2 feet long. A woman from Cape Town, South Africa, had pubic hair that measured 28 inches. She also had an armpit hair that measured 32 inches. Yep. So there's that.
Great.
Great.
I wonder if she used rosemary oil.
I also wonder how she submitted this. Was she going for the gold on this?
That's true. Was it...
Is it just by choice? It's just like, fuck it. And then they found her and they're like, hey.
That's long.
That's long. Have you ever thought about submitting for a world record?
So do you get money?
I have no idea.
Just fame.
Just fame.
Notoriety. Just
being known for the rest of your life, going down in history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah, you do get a star as yeah. well.
Longest pube.
Longest pube. And then she had to hold it out. Like a dress.
Yeah.
Yeah. And curtsy. Oink.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Quite Bridgerton of you.
Elegant.
Oh, the elegance.
The elegance. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our favorite things.
Yeah. And we'll see you next year.
We'll see you next year if you haven't heard that enough already by this point.
See you next week, too.
Bitches.
What'd you say? I don't know why I said it like that.
Goodbye.
I think it scared me that you said it, too.
Sorry. Mind meld.
Because I was also debating saying motherfuckers. Oh, but it felt harsh.
Yeah, bitches works.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye, bitches.
Fuck.
Fuck.
One, two, three. Oh, my God.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.